Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Old school security kicks in after the break-in. Too late. Simply Safe rewinds the story, stopping crime before it starts. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to detect intruders, alert live monitoring agents, and can deter intruders before they reach your door. It's proactive protection, plus a 60-day money-back guarantee and no contracts. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplysafe.com/podcast. That's simplysafe.com/podcast. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. My name is Trey Farrow. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today, only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
So you call your virtual insurance company to ask a simple question about your policy, but now you're on hold, listening to this music, while you wait and wait and wait. Auto Owners works with local independent agents who tailor coverage to meet your needs and pick up the phone when you call, because you shouldn't be on hold so long that you memorize the music. That's simple human sense. Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners makes sense for you.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Everybody's doing a brand new dance now. Come on, baby. Do the locomotion. Back out on the Chuckery Show. Final hour of the program's the start of the Brown Liquor Music Hour. It's little Eva's birthday. Probably not so little anymore.
That's her. So, I know this song. Had no clue that that was a black woman that sang the song.
Yes.
Never knew that.
And of course, the version later, much later on, you had Grand Funk Railroad that covered this song,
right?
That was a top 10 hit for them.
Uh-huh.
Maybe a number one hit, but top 10 hit for them. Kylie Minogue sang a version of this song. It was a top 10 hit for her. So it's been covered a whole bunch of times.
But yeah, I had no clue this version.
So Carol, I think it was, look at who was the writer for the Locomotion. Carol King and her boyfriend at the time, but they based Little Eva was like their house cleaner or something like that, and they asked her to sing on the record, and obviously it became a huge number one hit. But Carol King, the person who sang "I Feel the Earth Move Underneath My Feet," it's too late and all that.
Jeffrey Goffin.
Yes, I think that. Yeah.
Yeah. Says he wrote it.
Yeah. Was Carole King on that as well?
Yes.
Yeah.
Collaborating initially with his first wife, Carole King.
Yes. So they were married. Okay. But Little Eva was her house cleaner, I believe.
Wow.
And that's how she, and they asked her, they were looking for somebody to sing on the record, and they ended up asking her, and obviously she took it to number one. So I don't even know if she had another hit or not. I don't even know if she ever had another hit, but obviously, you get one big number one hit like that, you can. Now, again, back in those days, not the kind of money that we're talking about, for modern day artists. but still.
Livable.
Yeah, and look, you can always say that you have a number one record, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can always tell everybody that, hey, I've got a number one record, and everybody has heard it. So, but yeah, that song has been covered several times by other artists and stuff like that. So, anyway, good stuff. Braves will get back at it tomorrow. As let's see here, how the Miami beat the Boston Red Sox, so they picked up half a game. The Mets and the Phillies right now are still going on, and I believe that the Mets won their game. They're losing. They played a doubleheader today. I thought they played a doubleheader, but no. So they're losing right now. The Mets are losing right now, 3-2. It's in the bottom of the ninth inning, so we'll see if the Brewers can hang on. That'll pick up another half game. And the Philadelphia Phillies are up 3-1. That game is late, bottom of the eighth. So they're up right now. So Phillies and Marlins. Marlins have already won, so they gained the half game. But obviously the Braves, Braves still with a big lead. But they play the Marlins coming up here tomorrow. And, you know, we anticipate, and we'll know, I guess, in the morning, we anticipate that that's going to be Michael Soroka that's going to come back up. So, look, we talked about this a little bit last night. If Mike Soroka is coming back, it's time for him, and we were talking about this with Dukes and Bell even, time for him to stay up here. There's no reason to, barring injury, if he's hurt or whatever, but barring injury, what's he going to learn down in the minors at this point? Well, he can work on things and this and the other. Work on things up here. They can afford for him to work on some things up here and try to straighten himself out up here. Like, again, he was one of the best young pitchers in all of Major League Baseball just a handful of years ago. You know, he's more than capable of having success at the Major League level. Let him stay up here. Let him, whatever it is, you cut your teeth or whatever, but let him stay up here with all this. I don't really see a reason that, again, you shuttle him back and forth on the Partridge Family bus to go to, you know, Gwinnett and then up here or this and the other. Let him stay up here. At this point, if you're going to bring him up, if you're going to bring him up, if they're not going to bring him up, then okay, then keep him in Gwinnett and let him do his thing. But if you're going to bring him up, stay with the big league club. You need to find that guy that can solidify that fourth spot in the rotation. You need to find that guy that can just kind of nail that spot down and at least give you some consistency out of that spot, right? And again, even if you're not going to solve all of your spots, then you need to at least find someone who's going to be consistent. At least find somebody who can just go out there every fifth day, give you five or six innings. And again, I know things never work themselves out that easily, but that would be the goal. That would be the idea of finding somebody and just let Michael Soroka be part of this rotation. You know, and again, now if he has three or four or five starts in a row where he stinks and he gets bombed, you know, then you remove him from the rotation. But if it's you know, a one or two good starts and then he has a bad start and then, you know, he has an okay start and then another good start, keep him up here. Let him work through those things. Let him work through all of that stuff. Again, he was one of the most accomplished pitchers in the National League just a handful of years ago. I think he finished second in the league in ERA. I think he was first in adjusted ERA in baseball. That's why I still say that he should have pitched, you know, starting out in that series against the St. Louis Cardinals. But again, we know he's had a lot of success and we know he's had the injuries. But let him work some of these things out up here. Let him get acclimated back up here and let him try to, you know, fix some things to get major league hitters out. So, again, we'll see tomorrow morning. I mean, that's what they said. We would probably learn on Friday morning if he's going to be back up to start or not. And all the arrows are pointing toward that direction. And, you know, this is not an important series for the Braves. I mean, again, it's more important for the Marlins. This series is vitally important for the Marlins because you want to go into July thinking that you've got a shot, right? You want to go into the month of July to feel better about what you're doing. Obviously, pick up some wins on the road against the Atlanta Braves, but more importantly, is to feel like that you can be in this divisional race, or at least put a nugget in the back of the Braves' minds that, hey, we got a race here. Hey, we've got a race going on here, but it's vitally important for the Marlins. Marlins get swept. Again, you can count them out too. Marlins get swept. You're looking at trying to, you know, now the Braves should leave the NL East and go in the NL Central and the NL West and all that and win those divisions too. They should just get out of the East if they're up, you know, if they sweep the Marlins this weekend, get out of the East, go to another division. But seriously, no, I mean, it's a situation where the Marlins are going to probably give you everything you can, right? And they're, you know, again, we don't try to put too much into a series, but at some point, because again, you don't play these teams 19 times anymore, right? You're not playing the 19 games against teams in your division. So at some point, you've got to be able to make some hay against the group that is directly opposed to you. You got to be able to make some hay against guys. And that was the thing about the Braves, you know, these past couple of years. They obviously played the Marlins really well, and they beat the daylights out of them, beat the Phillies, and then beat the Mutts when they had to. And that's the thing. I mean, you can win those head-to-head games. You don't have to worry about – you don't have to scoreboard watch. You don't have to worry about what everybody else is doing. You just handle your business, and you take care of the team that you're playing against in your division, and things will be all right. And the Braves have done an outstanding job of that over the last few years. So I still say that this division is over. I still don't think that there's – again, even Bob Nightingale said there's no way the Marlins are competing with the Atlanta Braves. That's not going to happen. It's a nice story. It's cute. I mean, again, it would be good for them to be in the playoff hunt. Would be good for them to be a playoff team in the National League. I can see that. And it is funny how some of these mid kind of market teams just, you know, some of these poverty franchises, you know, the Rays and the Marlins, you know, seem to have those years where they're really good. Oakland and Kansas City, and I know Kansas City won the World Series a few years ago, but by and large, Oakland and Kansas City are always just dreadful. Just dreadful. Oh, by the way, we didn't even talk about these suspensions from gambling.
The NFL, yeah. I mean, how stupid. Suspensions and firing. Losing your job.
But how stupid. Didn't we just talk about this on What's Bugging Chuckery a few weeks ago? Like, how stupid do you have to be? Like, literally, how stupid do you have to be?
Especially in today's day and
age. Yes.
Like, there's way too many ways for them to find out.
Well, but not only that. That's always been the number one stigma if you're a professional athlete.
It's why the teams weren't in Vegas for years.
It's always been the number one stigma of being a professional athlete is betting on your sport. I don't care if you bet for, against, or with, or, opposed. Again, it's always been the number one thing that you can't do in professional sports. I don't care if it's baseball. I don't care if it's football, basketball, you know, professional poker, whatever. You can't do those. You can't do that stuff. And I understand that it's so easy nowadays, right? I mean, we got the FanDuel and we got DraftKings and we got all this kind of stuff. Like, everything's right at your fingertips, right?
Yeah.
Everything's right at your fingertips. And it's super easy, right? I mean, FanDuel's great. I mean, they make it super easy to go in and do all your betting. And then they give you all kinds of incentives to go in there and bet as well. You know, I do ad reads for FanDuel on my podcast, right? We talk about the no sweat first bet and get $1,000 back in bonus bets. If your first bet doesn't win, yeah, it's a lot of incentive. But you can't do that. That has always been the number one no-no in sports. That goes back to the 1920s when the Black Sox threw the World Series and stuff. And remember, they didn't just throw the World Series, but there were other players suspended that season by Kennesaw Mountain Landis because of suspected throwing of games from other teams. Heinie Zimmerman and some other guys were kicked out of baseball, right? I mean, there was more than just the Black Sox themselves. There were other players that were kicked out of baseball because of suspected gambling and stuff. You can't do that kind of stuff. And I know the temptation is always there, but you have to fight it. You have to fight it, and you can't do it, and it can't be something that you get yourself involved in. But, you know, it's, again, four players that were suspended for all of it. And the NCAA has handed down, you know, guidelines now for gambling. Well, okay, how about gamble and you're gone? Gamble and you can never play sports again. You won't get kicked out of school, but gamble and you can never play sports again. How about that? Is it? Let's see. Here's my manifesto, okay? Bet on sports as a collegiate athlete. Never play again. There it is. There's my manifesto. How long did that take to write, Day-Day? 7 seconds? But they got to get the NCAA involved, and they got to get all this other stuff involved and all this falderol. My mantra would have taken, you know, 6 seconds to put together. I would have walked into the meetings in Indianapolis with the NCAA and said, okay, here's what we're going to do. If you bet on sports and you're a scholarship athlete, you can never play sports again. Let's vote on it. I mean, it's so stupid. It's just,
yeah, they make it seem like it's so hard to come up with penalties, and it's really not. Yeah. It really isn't.
It's not. There's one penalty. You're never going to play sports again.
Yeah. If it's all about the integrity of the game, this is the rule.
Right.
Follow it or you're done.
Right. There shouldn't be any wiggle room in all this.
Yeah.
By the way, the NCAA is not a democracy. The NCAA doesn't operate as a democracy where you have all these warring factions about the. No, they are fiefdom. They don't have to ask permission. They're a fiefdom. Again, that's what they do. When there's rules that don't benefit the kids at all, you think they ask or they just implement it? So again, it's just the whole gambling thing is, and I get it, I understand it, but I just it's dumb to do it as an athlete. It's dumb to do it as a professional athlete and allow yourself to be sucked into all of that. So anyway, oh boy. All right, when we get back, we're gonna open up the phone lines to you again. We had some calls earlier that we took. How disappointing would it be for the Braves to not even get to the World Series? Winning is a different thing, but just getting to the World Series, isn't it kind of like this or bust with what we've done so far? 404-726-0929, 404-726-0929. We will take your calls up next. Chuck Renickia Studios, Sports Radio, 910 The Game, the Odyssey.com app.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Ark Raiders. A multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure.
Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Back at a Chuckery Show. Hanging out in the Kia Studios. We're going to the top of the hour. Who the hell's coming up next?
The network, JR Sports.
Really?
Yes.
All right. I never know.
So Max is apparently just wins. It's just, that's the only night.
Josh Hartnett.
For now. Well, no, Monday.
Dom DeLuise.
Monday's Jason.
Jason is Monday.
Wednesday, Max, and that's
yeah.
it. The rest of us, we're all weekenders.
Okay. So Josh Hartnett,
no.
Dom DeLuise, all those.
Everybody else, we're all weekend.
All right. Anyway. All right, 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. That's our phone line. It's also our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. So, you know, how disappointing, the question is, how disappointing would it be if the Braves don't at least get to the World Series? You know, when you look at the way that this team is playing, you know, they have that 2003 kind of vibe to them. They, and I don't mean that in a bad way because of how it ended. I'm talking about their offense, obviously their pitch. So let's start with their offense. You know, I think it's the deepest lineup in baseball. I think 1 through 9, there are, you know, and again, who'd we talk to the other night, Day-Day, that was talking about that? Who'd we have on the other night? Brett Boone.
Oh, Brett. Brett Boone. So, yeah, nowhere to hide for opposing pitchers.
I mean, there's no weak spots in this lineup. You know, again, we've got the starting shortstop hitting at the bottom of our order. Michael Harris is, you know, a Gold Glove caliber type of outfielder. Like, again, there's no weak places in this lineup. This lineup 1 through 9 is really playing well. And again, they're on pace to set, you know, either come really close or set the franchise record for runs scored in a season. No real weak spots. They're pitching. You know, for all of the injuries and everything like that, they have found a way to hang in. We just said, look, I think Strider and Elder are all-stars. That's really, you have 3 regular starting pitchers. That's 2 of your 3 regular starting pitchers that are all-stars. And so, again, if you If you have two of your three starters that are all-stars, tells you how good that they've played. Strider leading the league in strikeouts. Elder leading the league in ERA. That's two of the three Triple Crown stats. And Strider is second in the league in wins. So they've been really good in their starting staff. For all of the injuries and everything else, they've really hung tough. And when you look at the way the playoff picture is starting to form and take shape, you know, it's the Marlins, it's the Cincinnati Reds, it's the Arizona Diamondbacks, you know, it's the Milwaukee Brewers, you know, the Dodgers are kind of, you know, an afterthought. I mean, and again, they're having a good season. I mean, they have one of the best records, you know, in the National League. But still, again, you look at and say, okay, there are franchises in this playoff hunt that we can beat. They certainly can beat Pittsburgh or Cincinnati or, Milwaukee or Arizona or, you know, teams like that. They can certainly win over those teams. So everything kind of sets itself up that, you know, the Braves are the real class of the National League right now, and they should find their way into the World Series. It should be that kind of mindset. And we've said this for years. I mean, we've had our fun and we've taken our shots and stuff, but it should be World Series or bust. Should be getting to the World Series or bust. Because, again, I mean, you can't keep wasting all of this talent, right? You know, I made the comparison years ago before the Braves won their World Series about would Freddie Freeman go down, would his legacy be more like Chipper Jones or more like Dale Murphy? And what I meant by that was, will he be looked at like Chipper Jones that was part of championship teams and, you know, the best period in the Braves franchise history? Or would he be looked at as like Dale Murphy, a really good individual player who had very little team success outside that one year when they had the, 13-0 start or whatever? Outside of that year, I mean, that was the only playoff run they had, right? The Joe Torre managed team. And they didn't obviously do anything in the playoffs, right? I think they lost to the Cardinals that year, right? Was that the Willie McGee Cardinals team? That was before. I think that was even before Vince Coleman. It was Willie McGee, Ozzie Smith, Tommy Herr, guys like that. Jack Clark wasn't even on that team, I don't believe. Daryl Porter, I think, was on that team. But that's, you know, again, that was a franchise, or that was a run that Dale Murphy was outstanding, two-time MVP, but they had very little team success. And so I asked, would he be remembered more as Dale Murphy or Chipper Jones? Well, obviously, you know, A, he's not here. And B, again, probably more like Chipper because he was here when the success was really going. And obviously, you know, they won the World Series. But this would be a very, very much a disappointment if the Braves can't find their way into the World Series. When you look at the depth of their lineup, the quality of their pitching, the fact that there are unconventional teams, let's say, that are in the playoff hunt, Florida, Arizona, Cincinnati, like teams that are normally not, teams that normally by this time of the year are afterthoughts in the league, to be honest with you. Teams that basically are in the playoff hunt now are typically, over the last few years, teams that, okay, well, they're out of the picture altogether. They're not even in the wild card hunt or discussion. Forget the divisions. They're not even in the hunt for the wild card or anything like that. So again, you have these unconventional teams that are finding success this particular year. The Reds, the Marlins, teams like that have not been very good over the last handful of years. So a lot of things set themselves up to be in the World Series. A lot of things are kind of falling in place. Look, part of it too is the fact that the Mets and the Phillies have been so bad. That's the other part of this thing, is that the two teams that you figured were two of the best teams in the National League and would give the Braves a lot of problems in the division, those two teams have been dreadful. Those two teams have stunk. Mets and the Phillies. I mean, I guess technically the Phillies are in the playoff hunt. They are 43-37, but they're 10 games behind in the division. And we're about to be July 1st, right? We're about to be July 1st, and they are 10 games behind the Braves right now. And I don't see it in some of those teams. So things should set themselves up nicely to get into the World Series and make a run at it. I don't know if they ultimately win it. You're probably going to have to beat the Texas Rangers or the Tampa Bay Rays. Those teams are really good. Those teams are very, very good. Right now the Rangers are 49-32 out of nowhere. Cinderella story out of nowhere. Rays are 56-28. 56-28. They win two out of every three games that they have played this year. Oh, the Mets lost? Okay. So they lost to Milwaukee because Milwaukee's now in first place. So the Mets did lose tonight, so that's good news. So Philadelphia looks like they won their game tonight. Let's see here. Mets and okay. Let's see. What was the box score tonight? Who pitched for the Mets? Oh, Scherzer pitched tonight. 6 innings, 7 hits, 2 earned runs, 9 strikeouts, a couple of walks. He gave up a home run, and he did not factor in to the decision. T.J. McFarland ended up with the loss when all was said and done, and Hauser got the win tonight. So there you go. So the Mets lose tonight with Scherzer on the mound and fall another half game back in the standings. Whew. That now puts them, what, 17.5 games out of first place? Let me see what that puts them right now. I think it's 17.5. Yeah, 17.5 games. They're 18-27 on the road this year, only 18-18 at home. It's a dreadful mark. That's why they're minus 18 run differential, right? So that makes 2 in a row that they've lost, 3-7 in their last 10. Braves are 9-1 in their last 10. Mets are 3-7. But at least the Braves aren't having to chase New York now. You don't have to chase them down. Everybody's chasing the Braves. But back to the World Series discussion. Look, the Rangers have been outstanding. They're 49-32. Tampa's 56-28. They've been outstanding. The Baltimore Orioles have been outstanding, 48-31. They have the second best record in the American League with the 48-31 mark. It's a 608 winning percentage, slightly above what the Rangers are at 605. 49-32 is nothing to sneeze at. And look, the Astros have played well. They're 44-37. They've won 2 in a row, and they're still 5 games behind the Texas Rangers, who've just had that kind of run in them. So, again, I think that it would be a disappointment if the Braves can't capitalize on this. And, again, when I look back to 2003, I remember how good that offense was. There was not many holes in that offense. Marcus Giles had a big year. Rafael Furcal had a big year. They got big years out of Chipper, Andrew, and Sheffield in the outfield. They got contributions from all over the place, and they still could not find their way. Again, the famous series, Pryor and Wood, going up against the almighty Braves, and they shut them down completely. And Leo with the famous quote, anything can happen in a short series. No, Leo, it can't. Things can't happen like that in a short series when you're the most dominant team in the National League at that point. I think they were 101. I think they were 101-50. 101-60. Yeah, sorry. 101-60. 41 games above 500, I believe. And they were just dominant offensively. Again, you talk about Furcal, talk about Sheffield, Andrew, Chipper. Vinny Castilla played third base that year for him. I think Blauser was the shortstop that year. Andres Galarraga, was he the first baseman? I think he played first. Or was it Robert Fick? Can't remember who was playing first base. They might have been Robert Fick in 2003. But Denny Nagel was I think, on that staff as well. I mean, they were loaded top to bottom, but didn't capitalize, for all the offensive firepower that they had. Sheffield got in a big rut. Chipper didn't do much in the series. They just got themselves in a big funk and rut, and that was all she wrote. Pryor and Wood were striking guys out left and right, and they couldn't put enough balls in play and contact and all that, and just they had a bad series offensively, really bad series offensively. Seems like that's been a narrative at times when the Braves have a really good offense that kind of goes cold in the playoffs. But it would be a disappointment that this team does not get at least to the World Series when all is said and done. And that's the goal right now. Like, we're not in, hey, we're just happy with a playoff bid. No, it's got to be World Series or bust kind of mode right now. We're in the middle of this run. We're five straight division champions, right? Probably about to be a sixth straight division championship. So, again, you have to be in that mode, and it has to be higher expectations of what's going on, right? It happens in the NBA. We saw the coaches that won titles get fired this year. You got to have expectations. I mean, when you're a championship caliber team, you have to put some expectation out there, and you have to set some goals, and you have to be, you know, realistic about where we can be. Well, they should be in the World Series. When all is said and done, that the Braves should be, I don't care if they're hoisting it or not, but the Braves should certainly be in that World Series matchup come this particular season. All right, one more segment to go. Chuck Green, the Key Studios, hanging out with you here till 11 o'clock. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app. Back at it, Chuck Free Show, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Head to the top of the hour, JR Sports Brief coming up after us. One more day to go, then it's a vacation time. Well, we'll do Rank'em coming up tomorrow, so we'll have Rank'em coming up at 10:40. D-List, 404-726-0929, Solomon Rose Diamond text line. Do you listen to podcasts at all?
Honestly, nah, not too often. I'm in the car a lot because, you know, we both talk about how, you know, we got other things going on. So I'm right. Usually doing some DoorDash earlier in the day. So I'm listening to the station, honestly, most of the
really?
Day. Yeah. Yeah.
It's kind of funny. I've really become a podcast guy, but very narrow minded. Podcasts. I don't really listen to as much. Well, I don't. The only terrestrial radio that I listen to are the sports stations,
right?
But I don't really listen to. Well, first of all, I don't have time now during the day. Like I'm never in my car during the day. But I don't really listen to the our station as much. When I'm in the car, like when I'm driving down from my job in Alpharetta and coming down here, like I listen to podcasts the whole way. And that's no offense to Dukes and Bell or anything like that.
I love those guys.
I mean, I think they're great and I think they're, you know, as good as anybody in the marketplace, but I like what I like and I have limited time. Like I never have time at home because I'm either meal prepping or sleeping or showering or doing my podcast. Like there's no time to do anything else at home. But again, my podcast listening is very narrow. I listen to all wrestling podcasts.
Okay.
Like, I mean, mostly Jim Cornette. I'll listen to Eric Bischoff's podcast. I'll listen to Jeff Jarrett's. I'll listen to JR's podcast. I mean, they're all part of that network with Conrad Thompson. But outside of that, I don't, you know, the only reason that I listen to Sirius XM, I mean, in all honesty, like the only reason I listen to Sirius XM radio is because my daughter listens to all the music. So when my daughter's with me and she's in the car, we listen to, the new hits, like new songs and stuff like that. But outside of that, if I'm driving around, I'll watch or listen because, you know, like I'll even listen to YouTube clips that play from podcasts and stuff like that about, mm-hmm. you know, something I want to listen to. But I'll mostly listen to just podcasting now. And I never thought I'd do that. I never thought I'd be in podcasting.
Right.
Never thought I would do actual podcasting. But you know, here we are.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
So I'm fortunate enough that it's a paid gig. So I'm not doing it, you know, for free or anything like
right.
that. It's a paid gig to do, so 5 days a week. But you know, again, it's just kind of funny. I'd never do a podcast. That was one of the things that you know, changing it. I'm not gonna do a podcast. Then they offered me money to do it, and I'm like, oh, okay,
right.
now we can do a podcast. But now again, I mean, my wrestling podcast, like, I don't think I can. I mean, that's my complete decompression.
Right.
Like, that's my chance to decompress from life and work and everything else. Just, you know, pure enjoyment, just listening to, you know, wrestling podcasts.
Right.
You know, so it gives me, you know, joy and stuff like that. And just, you know, I can just, you know, unplug, mm-hmm. you know, when I listen to them. So, but especially Cornette. Like, I love Jim Cornette's. But I think it's, I mean, again, as far as wrestling podcasts go, I think it's the absolute tippy top of the food chain with wrestling podcasts.
I've actually reached out to them to see if I can. I was going to try to surprise you.
Well, I've reached out to him as well.
They're a little. He's a little tough.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't really do media.
Right.
I mean, I can tell you that. I mean, he doesn't really do media because I've tried to reach out to. So his co-host is Brian Last.
Right.
And I've tried to reach out to Brian and Jim. I mean, and I've tried to reach out to them multiple ways and stuff like that, and really haven't had much success, you know, on it. So. Because again, we are efforting a WWE Hall of Famer for probably 1st of August.
Right.
That I've got somebody in the can that I'm working with somebody else on, to get them lined up on the show and stuff like that. But, you know, again, it's for me, it's fun to talk to those guys and have those guys on. By the way, we need to get Jeff Jarrett back on the show.
Yeah.
I've got Jeff's number in my phone, actually, believe it or not. I've got Jerry Lawler's number.
Oh, nice.
In my phone, believe it or not.
King.
Yeah. Yeah. I got his number through a former coworker of ours.
Okay.
Sent me his number that lives up in Memphis.
Okay.
And sent me that number. So I haven't reached out to him, but
He seems like he'd be fun.
Oh, yeah. Well, again, he had the stroke here
right.
recently. Yeah, that's why he did when he was doing the Hall of Fame stuff, because he was supposed to do the introduction. They just had the WWE Hall of Fame.
Right.
Well, Andy Kaufman was going into the Hall of Fame this year. Lawler was supposed to do all of the introduction to him, and obviously because of his stroke,
right.
he couldn't do it, and he was at home and things like that. Because he did just like a little video message, you know, congratulating Andy Kaufman on being in the, you know, WWE Hall of Fame and all that kind of stuff. But he was supposed to do the actual induction speech
right.
for him. And obviously he couldn't do it. So his family came out, like his whole family came out. I mean, his former wife, kids, because he's got multiple kids.
Mm-hmm.
All of his, I think, sisters came out and all that stuff. But again, he was supposed to do that. So he's been sick.
Right.
You know, obviously. And look, he's not a spring chicken.
No.
You know, he wrestled last year.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. He's wrestled for 50 straight years. Yeah. He wrestled not on, again, it's like his backyard promotion that he runs or whatever like that. But I mean, he's wrestled for 50 straight years.
Wow.
So I mean, it's crazy to think, but
yeah.
I mean, that's how long he's been around.
Whatever happened with his son?
Well, his son died.
Did he? I didn't realize.
Yeah, Brian Christopher.
Yeah.
Yeah, Brian Christopher's dead.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Has that been a while? Maybe I do remember that.
Yeah,
now.
It's been a while.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe I do remember.
Remember, he was in
Too
Cool.
Yeah, that's
with
right. Yeah. He was, it was Scotty Too Hottie and
Brian Christopher.
And Brian Christopher.
Yeah, it was Scotty Too Hottie and Grandmaster Sexay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Scotty Too Hottie's a trainer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
He trained, he's been a trainer and a coach and things like that. Like, he's worked with He trained Lacey Evans, and he's trained some of the women's wrestlers.
Okay.
In their developmental system.
Yeah, I think I remember that now about King's son dying because
Brian Christopher.
Yeah,
is his name.
Brian Christopher. I think I do remember that.
I don't want to say that he was estranged from Jerry, but they weren't typical father son.
Yeah, because for a while it wasn't even acknowledged as far as like, I mean, obviously if you were in the business you knew, but like from a fan standpoint, for a while it wasn't even acknowledged that was a father and son.
Right, right. I mean, they never. I don't think that they had a great relationship until he got into the WWE. I think that's when their relationship improved.
Mm-hmm.
That stuff with Rikishi, they were over. Big time over. Yeah. Like they were.
Yep.
They were. I mean, they weren't Rock and Austin, but brother,
that was the best thing for them.
Oh yeah, but they were a notch. I mean, they were just a notch below. Mm-hmm. You know, Rock and Austin and those guys.
Yeah.
And think about the talent that they had there, but again, they were not very far off from being at the tippy top of the mountain with those guys. So. But yeah, he's Brian Christopher, I believe.
Yeah, I remember that. I think I do remember that now. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. He never had a great relationship, I don't believe, with his son out there. But yeah. But we'll try to get Lawler on at some point.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, that would be cool. Like I would love to talk to Jerry Lawler. So there's a handful of those guys. Like I would really love to talk to Cornette. Like again, I'd have to tell Cornette to make sure he cleans it up on terrestrial radio and stuff like that.
Right, right.
He's used to podcasting and he's used to dropping F-bombs left and right and this, that, and the other. But
yeah,
he
died. I'm sorry, he died in 2018. So it's been what's that? 5 years?
Yeah,
yeah, 5 years. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, I knew. Yeah, he was what, in his 30s?
Yeah, let's see. He was born in 72, so...
Oh, no, he was older than that.
He was in his 40s.
Yeah.
He was 46.
Yeah.
Yeah, 46.
Yeah, I think him and Lawler were... I think him and the King were close toward the end of his life, but they, for a lot of his childhood, were kind of estranged because he didn't really piggyback off of his dad's success or things like that. I mean, trying to make his own name and stuff. Grandmaster 6A. So.
Yeah, it looks like he had some issues there.
He did. Yeah, he got into drugs and all that kind of stuff. That's what killed him. I mean, he got into, you know, I think coke and drugs and different things like that. And, you know, he ended up, I think basically his heart exploded, right?
According to this, it says he hung himself.
Oh, he killed himself. Yeah. Oh, okay.
But I think just dealing with alcohol, drugs, and all that, because he was supposed to, he missed a treatment. You know, he didn't check in at one point in time.
Mm-hmm.
So in and out of jail because of that stuff. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Yeah. That's unfortunate. Man, those wrestling stories, like, there are so many. I was watching a video while we were in Myrtle Beach, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And it was 15 deaths that WWE never recognized or, you know, acknowledged.
Well, I mean.
You know, with their tributes and stuff that they typically do.
Well, I would tell you that the most famous is Jimmy Snuka killed his girlfriend.
Right.
And at one time, before Hulkamania came around, Jimmy Snuka was the most popular babyface in the WWF.
Yep.
Like, he was the top guy in the WWF. And he was a massive draw in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's one of my favorite matches of all time, him and Don Morocco in MSG when he jumps off the cage and do the Snuka splash. It's one of my favorite matches of all time.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that's Pat Patterson on commentary. But, you know, he killed his girlfriend.
Right.
And they still brought him back.
Yep.
Like, they still brought him back. I mean, he had to go away for a while, but then they brought him back.
Yeah. But yeah, just that piece I watched, it just talked all the. There's so many wrestlers that took their own lives, man.
Oh yeah,
you know what I'm saying? It's crazy. Like I didn't realize the amount of them that had done so. Like it's crazy.
Yeah, I mean they get into a lot of these different crazy things and stuff, and they end up, you know, because the latest Dark Side of the Ring was about Matt Bourne, who was the original Doink the Clown.
Yeah, Doink the Clown. Yep. Because they brought him back to reprise that.
He couldn't hold a job. I mean, he was accused of domestic abuse. Mm-hmm. He was accused of he was arrested for drugs and all kinds of stuff. I mean, he could never hold a job, but he was great as Doink. He was a fabulous worker, and he was a great wrestler, and he was a great Doink. He was the original Doink the Clown.
Yep, he was one of them.
Well, yeah, he was the original.
I'm saying he was one of the ones that was on the list that I watched.
Oh, yeah. Because that episode just came out for Dark Side of the Ring. It just, because I was listening to Cornette talk about it. But Matt Bourne, I mean, he was nuts. I mean, he was a crazy guy. But he was great as Doink because they based it off Krusty the Clown, right?
Right, yep.
In the, The Simpsons?
The Simpsons,
yeah. Yeah, The Simpsons, Krusty the Clown, so.
Yep.
All right, anyway, wrap things up here. Up next, Chuck Rinnikia Studios, Love TKO up next. Sports Radio After the Game, Odyssey.com app.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Ark Raiders. A multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Back at it, Chuck Reshow, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Head to the top of the hour, JR Sports Brief coming up after us. One more day to go, then it's a vacation time. We will do Rank'em coming up tomorrow, so we'll have Rank'em coming up at 10:40. D-List, 404-726-0929, Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Do you listen to podcasts at all?
Honestly, nah, not too often. I'm in the car a lot because, you know, we both talk about how, you know, we got other things going on. So I'm right. Usually doing some DoorDash earlier in the day. So I'm listening to the station, honestly, most of the
really?
Day. Yeah. Yeah.
It's kind of funny. I've really become a podcast guy, but very narrow minded. Podcasts. I don't really listen to as much. Well, I don't. The only terrestrial radio that I listen to are the sports stations.
Right.
But I don't really listen to. Well, first of all, I don't have time now during the day. Like I'm never in my car during the day. But I don't really listen to the our station as much. When I'm in the car, like when I'm driving down from my job in Alpharetta and coming down here, like I listen to podcasts the whole way. And that's no offense to Dukes and Bell or anything like that.
I love those guys.
I mean, I think they're great and I think they're, you know, as good as anybody in the marketplace. But I like what I like and I have limited time. Like I never have time at home because I'm either meal prepping or sleeping or showering or doing my podcast. Like there's no time to do anything else at home. But again, my podcast listening is very narrow. I listen to all wrestling podcasts.
Okay.
Like, I mean, mostly Jim Cornette. I'll listen to Eric Bischoff's podcast. I'll listen to Jeff Jarrett's. I'll listen to JR's podcast. I mean, they're all part of that network with Conrad Thompson. But outside of that, I don't, you know, the only reason that I listen to SiriusXM radio, I mean, in all honesty, like the only reason I listen to SiriusXM radio is because my daughter listens to all the music. So when my daughter's with me and she's in the car, we listen to, the new hits, like new songs and stuff like that. But outside of that, if I'm driving around, I'll watch or listen because I'll even listen to YouTube clips that play from podcasts and stuff like that about you know something I want to listen to. But I'll mostly listen to just podcasting now, and I never thought I'd do that. I never thought I'd be in podcasting.
Right.
Never thought I would do actual podcasting. But you know, here we are.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
So I'm fortunate enough that it's a paid gig, so I'm not doing it, you know, for free or anything like that. It's a paid gig to do, so 5 days a week. But you know, again, it's just kind of funny. I'd never do a podcast. That was one of the things that you know, changing it. I'm not going to do a podcast. Then they offered me money to do it, and I'm like, oh, okay.
Right.
Now we can do a podcast. But now again, I mean, my wrestling podcast, like, I don't think I can – I mean, that's my complete decompression.
Right.
Like, that's my chance to decompress from life and work and everything else. Just, you know, pure enjoyment, just – listening to, you know, wrestling podcasts,
right.
You know, so it gives me, you know, joy and stuff like that. And just, you know, I can just, you know, unplug, you know, when I listen to them. So, but especially Cornette, like I love Jim Cornette's, but again, as far as wrestling podcasts go, I think it's the absolute tippy top of the food chain with wrestling podcasts.
I've actually reached out to them to see if I can. I was going to try to surprise you.
Well, I've reached out to him as well.
They're a little. He's a little tough. He's a little tough to.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't really do media.
Right.
I mean, I can tell you that. I mean, he doesn't really do media because I've tried to reach out to. So his co-host is Brian Last.
Right.
And I've tried to reach out to Brian and Jim. I mean, and I've tried to reach out to them multiple ways and stuff like that, and really haven't had much success, you know, on it. So. Because again, we are efforting a WWE Hall of Famer for probably 1st of August.
Right.
I've got somebody in the can that I'm working with somebody else on, to get them lined up on the show and stuff like that. But, you know, again, it's for me, it's fun to talk to those guys and have those guys on. By the way, we need to get Jeff Jarrett back on the show.
Yeah.
I've got Jeff's number in my phone, actually, believe it or not. I've got Jerry Lawler's number.
Oh, nice.
In my phone, believe it or not.
King.
Yeah. Yeah. I got his number through a former coworker of ours.
Okay.
Sent me his number that lives up in Memphis.
Okay.
And sent me that number. So I haven't reached out to him, but
he seems like he'd be fun.
Oh, yeah. Well, again, he had the stroke here
right
recently. Yeah, that's why he did when he was doing the Hall of Fame stuff, because he was supposed to do the introduction. They just had the WWE Hall of Fame.
Right.
Well, Andy Kaufman was going into the Hall of Fame this year. Lawler was supposed to do all of the introduction to him, and obviously because of his stroke,
right,
he couldn't do it, and he was at home and things like that. Because he did just like a little video message, you know, congratulating Andy Kaufman on being in the, you know, WWE Hall of Fame and all that kind of stuff. But he was supposed to do the actual induction speech
right
for him, and obviously he couldn't do it. So his family came out, like his whole family came out. I mean, his former wife, kids, because he's got multiple kids,
mm-hmm.
All of his, I think, sisters came out and all that stuff. But again, he was supposed to do that. So he's been sick.
Right.
You know, obviously. And look, he's not a spring chicken.
No.
You know, he wrestled last year.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. He's wrestled for 50 straight years. Yeah. He wrestled. Again, it's like his backyard promotion that he runs or whatever like that. But, I mean, he's wrestled for 50 straight years.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's crazy to think. But, yeah. I mean, that's how long he's been around.
Whatever happened with his son?
Well, his son died.
Did he? I didn't realize.
Yeah, Brian Christopher.
Yeah.
Yeah, Brian Christopher's dead.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Has that been a while? Maybe I do remember that.
Yeah,
now.
It's been a while.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe I do remember.
Remember, he was in Too Cool.
Yeah, that's
with
right.
Rikishi.
Yeah. He was, it was Scotty Too Hotty and
Brian Christopher.
And Brian Christopher.
Yeah, it was Scotty Too Hotty and Grandmaster Sexay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Scotty Too Hotty's a trainer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
He trained he's been a trainer and a coach and things like that. Like he trained Lacey Evans and he's trained some of the women's wrestlers.
Okay.
In their developmental system.
Yeah, I think I remember that now about King's son dying because
Brian Christopher.
Yeah,
is his name.
Brian Christopher. I think I do remember that.
I don't want to say that he was estranged from Jerry, but they weren't typical father son.
Yeah, because for a while it wasn't even acknowledged as far as like, I mean, obviously if you were in the business you knew, but like from a fan standpoint, for a while it wasn't even acknowledged that was a father and son.
Right. I mean, I don't think that they had a great relationship until he got into the WWE. I think that's when their relationship improved.
Mm-hmm.
And again, in all honesty, that stuff with Rikishi, they were over.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, big time over. Yeah. Like they were.
Yep.
They were. I mean, they weren't Rock and Austin, but brother,
that was the best thing for them.
Oh yeah, but they were a notch. I mean, they were just a notch below. Mm-hmm. You know, Rock and Austin and those guys.
Yeah.
And think about the talent that they had there. But again, they were not very far off from being at the tippy top of the mountain with those guys. So, but yeah, he's Brian Christopher, I believe.
Yeah,
is
I
dead.
Remember that. I think I do remember that now. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. He never had a great relationship, I don't believe, with his son out there. But, but we'll try to get Lawler on at some point.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, that would be cool. Like I would love to talk to Jerry Lawler. So there's a handful of those guys. Like I would really love to talk to Cornette. Like again, I'd have to tell Cornette to make sure he cleans it up on terrestrial radio and stuff like that.
Right.
He's used to podcasting and he's used to dropping F-bombs left and right and this, that, and the other. But
yeah,
he
died. I'm sorry, he died in 2018. So
yeah,
it's been
yeah.
what? What's that? 5 years?
Yeah.
Yeah. 5 years. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I knew. Yeah. He was what, in his 30s?
Yeah, let's see. He was born in 72, so...
Oh, no, he was older than that.
He was in his 40s.
Yeah.
He was 46.
Yeah.
Yeah, 46.
Yeah, I think him and Lawler were... I think him and the King were close toward the end of his life, but they, for a lot of his childhood, were kind of estranged because
he,
you know, he didn't really piggyback off of his dad's success or things like that. I mean, trying to make his own name and stuff. Grandmaster 6A. So.
Yeah, it looks like he had some issues there.
Well, he did. Yeah, he got into drugs and all that kind of stuff. That's what killed him. I mean, is he got into, you know, I think coke and drugs and different things like that, and you know, he ended up basically his heart exploded, right?
According to this, it says he hung himself.
Oh, he killed himself. Yeah. Oh, okay.
But I think just dealing with alcohol, drugs, and all that, because he was supposed to, he missed a treatment. You know, he didn't check in at one point in time.
Mm-hmm.
So in and out of jail because of that stuff. So, yeah, that's unfortunate. Man, those wrestling stories, like there are so many. I was watching a video over while we were in Myrtle Beach, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And it was 15 deaths that WWE never recognized or, you know, acknowledged.
Well, I mean,
you know, with their tributes and stuff that they typically do.
Well, the most, I would tell you that the most famous is Jimmy Snuka killed his girlfriend.
Right.
And at one time before Hulkamania came around, Jimmy Snuka was the most popular babyface in the WWWF. Yep. Like he was the top guy in the WWF, and he was a massive draw in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's one of my favorite matches of all time, him and Don Morocco in MSG when he jumps off the cage and do the snooker splash. It's one of my favorite matches of all time.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that's Pat Patterson on commentary. But, you know, he killed his girlfriend.
Right.
And they still brought him back.
Yep.
Like, they still brought him back. I mean, he had to go away for a while, but then they brought him back.
Yeah. But yeah, just that piece I watched, it just talked all the. There's so many wrestlers that took their own lives, man.
Oh yeah, you know what I'm
saying? It's crazy. Like I didn't realize the amount of them that had done so. Like it's crazy.
Yeah, I mean they get into a lot of these different crazy things and stuff, and they end up, you know, because the latest Dark Side of the Ring was about Matt Bourne. Who was the original Doink the Clown?
Yeah, Doink the Clown. Yep. Because they brought him back to reprise that.
He couldn't hold a job. I mean, he was accused of domestic abuse.
Mm-hmm.
He was accused of he was arrested for drugs and all kinds of stuff. I mean, he could never hold a job, but he was great as Doink. He was a fabulous worker, and he was a great wrestler, and he was a great Doink. He was the original Doink the Clown.
Yep, he was one of them.
Well, yeah, he was the original.
No, I'm saying he was one of the ones that was on the list that I watched.
Oh, yeah. Because that episode just came out for Dark Side of the Ring. It just, because I was listening to Cornette talk about it. But Matt Bourne, I mean, he was nuts. I mean, he was a crazy guy. But he was great as Doink because they based it off Krusty the Clown, right?
Right, yep.
In the, was it, The Simpsons?
The Simpsons,
yeah. Yeah, The Simpsons, Krusty the Clown, so.
Yep.
All right, anyway, wrap things up here. Up next, Chuck Renekia Studios, Love TKO up next. Sports Radio After the Game, Odyssey.com app.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Old school security kicks in after the break-in. Too late. SimpliSafe rewinds the story, stopping crime before it starts. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to detect intruders, alert live monitoring agents, and can deter intruders before they reach your door. It's proactive protection, plus a 60-day money-back guarantee and no contracts. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplisafe.com/podcast. That's simplisafe.com/podcast. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. My name is Trey Farrow. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today, only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
So, got one for you, boss.
Oh, yeah?
What's black, white, and dented all over?
I give up.
The company truck. I know, but thanks to our agent, we've already submitted an insurance claim and can track the status right from the app. Auto Owners pays what they owe without any hassle.
Lucky for you, that's simple human sense.
Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners makes sense for you.
Other sportsbooks just don't hit right. But FanCash makes switching to Fanatics easy. Only Fanatics gives you up to 10% FanCash back on all bets, win or lose, which you can use to unlock the world of Fanatics. From more bets and game tickets to signed memorabilia and one-of-a-kind experiences only Fanatics can offer, switch to Fanatics Sportsbook and let the FanCash roll in. Winning hits different here. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. MD, visit mdgamblinghelp.org. Offer not available in all states. Terms apply. See Fanatics Sportsbook app.